One of the things I've often wondered as a kid growing up is this word disciple. What does this word disciple mean? If you grab your New International Version of the Bible and you go to the New Testament, you see this word disciple over and over and over, and you actually see it about 299 times if you have that version. It makes me wonder, what does it mean? We see all of this in Scripture, what it means to be a disciple in the first century. But what does it mean today in 21st century Kentwood? In 21st century Grand Rapids and Door and West Michigan, wherever you are, what does it mean to be a disciple? So in the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at a few of the characteristics of what is a disciple. And today we're actually going to start in the book of Acts, and it's going to be chapter 11, verse 19, and it's going to be on page 893 in those Bibles in the back of the seats. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the book of Acts, it begins with Jesus meeting with his disciples and telling the disciples to wait until they receive the Spirit. And then after they receive the Spirit, they're going to be empowered to go out and be Christ's witnesses. So Acts is a story of the church as it develops and as it starts following Christ, as it starts following Christ's reign. So this morning, I'm actually going to read from a little bit different translation than what's in the back of the pews here. I'm going to read from one called the New International Reader's Version. This is a version that is actually written at about the third grade level, so it's got a little bit shorter sentences, a little shorter sentence structure, easy to read. For those people who are younger readers in our congregation, it'd be great to check those out. So we'll pull it up here and we'll read it together. Some believers had been scattered by the suffering that came to them after Stephen's death. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Phoenicia is a region, an area. Cyprus is an island that's in the Mediterranean, and Antioch was a city that's north of Jerusalem. It's actually on the coast of the Mediterranean. But they told the message only to Jews. Some believers from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch. They told them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's power was with them. Large numbers of people believed and turned to the Lord. The church in Jerusalem heard about this, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad. He told them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. Barnabas was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Large numbers of people came to know the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Saul, if you recall, he was a persecutor of the Jews, and he actually, at this point, was given a new name, Paul, but they still reference him as Saul. And so Saul here is a Christ follower. He found him there, and then he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church. They taught large numbers of people. At Antioch, the believers were called Christians for the first time. Kristen Sterk, in her book entitled A Heartbeat of Grace, allows people into her journey as a disciple. If you haven't read this book, it actually just came out this year. It's from someone who grew up in West Michigan in a small farming community. I think it was Borculo. Maybe you've heard of that city. And she wrote this book to let people in on this journey. And she grew up in a Christian family. And she shared in her book that every Sunday they weren't allowed to watch TV. As a part of their discipleship in their family, they weren't able to. But every now and then, her father would walk over to the TV, and he'd turn it on. Old TVs, you would actually have to turn on like this without a remote, right? So he'd turn on the TV. He's not watching the TV. He's just checking the score. So then he turns it back off. And Kristen notices this about her father, that he goes and he checks the score. I think over time, the book says that checking the score turned into a longer ordeal. You know, sometimes, you know, usually the score was right on there, but sometimes, you know, the score's not always on the screen, so you don't know, so you need to watch a little bit in order to see the score. And it's always changing. The score always changes. So checking the score maybe turned into maybe a 1 or 2 hour affair. As Kristen watched the games, and a lot of times they'd watch basketball games on Saturday, she fell in love with the game of basketball. She would watch intently that screen, seeing what NBA players were doing, like Kevin Garnett. She liked Kevin Garnett because it was the same as her initials, KG. And so she watched intently what he was doing, and then she tried to go out to her own driveway with her own basketball hoop and to mimic those movements. She was a disciple of the game of basketball. She had a singular focus that was on basketball. She wanted everything in her life to be about basketball. She had basketball shoes, she had basketball shorts, basketball jerseys. She played basketball in high school, a singular focus. And that's really what a disciple is. People who are intent on one thing. People who are focused in one thing, and you'll move everything else in your life around so you can do that one thing. Maybe you can think of something in your life that's very important that you try to elevate above other things, to focus your time on that. In West Michigan, I know family is very important. So maybe you adjust schedule so you can be with your family, all of you together. And you think about what you can do for your family and how best you can live your life to better your family. In our passage today in Acts, I think we see a similar singular focus, one thing that people are focusing on, one thing that the disciples are focusing on. And it's in fact that one thing that they focus on is the complete reason why they are called Christian for the first time. As we enter our passage, we first read that the disciples, the Jewish Christians, had been spread out of the city of Jerusalem because of the death of Stephen. Stephen was actually murdered. He was stoned to death. And people in that region, the Jews who did this, were probably rather pleased that they saw all of these people who followed Christ to be dispersed, to go to Phoenicia and to Cyprus and to Antioch, because to a point there's strength in numbers, isn't there? When you have more people concentrated together, they're able to maybe do more than a few people spread apart. But I don't know if that's actually what happened, and I don't think that's what happened, because in God's kingdom, a few people who are spread across an area can do quite a bit with the Holy Spirit. So as the disciples were spread across the region, some of them went to Antioch. And initially, they were only sharing the message with people that were like themselves. They were Jews. Maybe it was a little bit easier to do that, to speak with someone who looked like yourself and who talked like yourself and had the same language. I'm sure that helped. But over time, something changed. They weren't just keeping to themselves. Something different started happening. It's on the next slide. There, they began to speak to the Greeks also. Some of the disciples had such a singular focus on Christ that it didn't matter who they were talking to. It didn't matter if they had similarities or differences, because they just wanted to talk about Christ. So the disciples had a love so great for Christ that they started talking to the Greeks, the non-Jewish people. The disciples started conversations with these Greeks. It might have been about something easy, like what they did for a living, like when you meet new people. Hey, what type of job do you have? How many kids do you have? And so on. Easy things. But you know those people that have a passion for something, that the conversation always turns in that direction. Like people who love sports so much that they're going to always talk about baseball. Emily smiles because I love baseball, and sometime I'm going to bring that up with you guys. But these disciples, it wasn't baseball, it was Christ. And so they talked about Christ. And they brought Christ and his grace to these people because that was their singular focus. It was the one thing that remained true in their life. And what happened was the Spirit went to work within these people when they heard that message. And people started following Christ as king. Greeks, people who weren't the normal Jewish people. Day after day and night after night, more and more and more people started following this guy named Christos. Christ. And this cosmopolitan community, this multicultural community of Antioch, was transformed into a Gentile headquarters of Christianity, with so many people from all over the place who are following one person. So many people from all over the place that have a singular focus, one thing that they're focusing on. And it would seem that Jesus' commission is coming true. His commission is also in Acts chapter 1. It's when he said to the disciples, wait here for the Spirit, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this is just one part where Christ is causing this mission to be fulfilled by his disciples and by the Holy Spirit. If you read Acts chapter 8 through 11, you'll see other times where this is happening as well, where the gospel is spreading to other people. In Acts chapter 8, it starts with a man named Philip. Philip went to the Samaritans, and if you're not familiar with the Samaritans, they were people who were not liked by the Jews. But now, Philip takes the message of Christ to the people that they don't like. And people start following Christ. Beyond that, Saul comes to faith. We briefly touched on that before. The persecutor of Christians comes to faith. And beyond that, we have Peter, who brings a message of Christ to some Gentiles and witnesses with his own eyes how the Holy Spirit comes down upon these believers. God's hand is moving mightily amongst these people, causing the message of Christ, their singular focus, the one thing that they focus on as a disciple, to reign supreme and to cause others to be interested in hearing this message as well. As the message began to spread, the disciples were gaining a bit of a reputation. People all over the city started noticing them and noticing what they were talking about, and it was because they had that singular focus. They were always talking about Christ. You could almost envision some people in the court square talking. Bob, who are these people? Well, Bill, you see, these people, the ones that they always have different people following them every day, they're the Christ people, right? You know, the ones that always talk about Christ. Well, Bob, so Christians? Is that what they are? Yeah, Christians. Christians, these people that always talk about Christ. That's how they got their name. Some people believe that name was kind of a derogatory thing, but it was something that they were focused on, Christ. And that's what it means to be a Christian, and that's what it means to be a disciple, that our focus above all else is on the work of Jesus Christ in our life and in the lives of the others. And I think in this passage we see two ways that this focus on Christ shows itself. And the first way is breaking new ground. It's those disciples that started out only speaking to Jews, and yet then there were others that decided to speak to some Greek people. They saw there were these people who were early adopters of bringing the message all over the place. They were people who were speaking with others daily. And we hear it also something similar in Acts 5, if you want to pull that up. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the one way. We break new ground into people's lives who have never heard it before. And maybe that's like Matt in the video. His sister asked him to go to this concert because he was living a life that wasn't fulfilling. It didn't fulfill him, and those things that he thought fulfilled his life, like money and going to parties and such, they weren't doing it anymore. And so his sister broke into some new ground, inviting him to a place so that he could hear a message that would change his life forever. One way we do that is by breaking new ground, telling people that don't know about Christ. And then there's a second way that we see in this scripture. The second way that the singular focus is lived out is through teaching and encouraging those who are already following Christ. When Barnabas gets to Antioch, he encourages and he teaches. Pull up Acts 11:23 for me a minute. I think I have it. It's two slides away. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He wasn't a part of it. He just saw what had happened. And he was glad. So then he went and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So maybe that's what God is calling you to do with your singular focus, is to come along those side of those people who already know Christ. They know who he is, and you're to encourage them to continue in their faith, to continue living a life that is worthy of God. Maybe that's one of the ways that we can do that. And I think that we do have the opportunity to do at City Fest as well by being a festival friend. They're going to have opportunity for people to come to know Christ for the first time, but they're also going to have people who will rededicate their life to Christ. And how could we as believers come alongside of those who are rededicating their life to Christ, that we can help encourage them, to help them push on, to stay true to the message that they have received? When we think about doing these two things, maybe you get a little nervous. Maybe I get a little nervous. Maybe reaching out to someone I don't know and telling them about Christ, I don't know about that. Or coming along someone else, I don't know about that. Maybe we don't think it's the way that we've been gifted. Well, you know, I have a gift to play piano. I don't. Or I have a gift to play guitar or do something else, but I don't have the gift of speaking. I can't go out and talk to someone like that. I think if we look at Barnabas in this passage, we can find out something specific that can help encourage us. And I'm borrowing this from Pastor John Piper. He's a pastor, I think a retired pastor in Minnesota at Bethlehem Bible Church, something like that. And he says this in verse 24: there is no reference here to Barnabas' gifts. There are no references here to Barnabas' gifts, but only to his graces, those things that Christ has given him. That is, his spiritual and moral qualities and not his skills. So let's pull that verse up again. Barnabas was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Large numbers of people came to know the Lord. Barnabas, he was a good man. He was a good man who was full of the Spirit and full of faith. Those are pretty easily attainable because they're given by God. Faith is something that God gives us, and the Holy Spirit is also something that God gives us to empower us from within. So it's clear here that it was God who is at work and in Barnabas and in the people he was talking to and in the people that he was encouraging. It wasn't necessarily any skill that arose out of himself. It was God working through him. So maybe God isn't looking for great gifts, great skills within a person. Maybe instead God is looking for someone who has faith. Someone who has faith and is willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. Maybe God's calling you not because you're filled with great gifts. Maybe you are filled, but he has taught you completely to rely on him for everything that you need. Completely relying on God through the Spirit for each and everything that you need and every part of the day. To be able to point to Christ as a singular focus, the one thing that you love the most in your life. So I wonder how can you show your singular focus? You remember Kristen, that West Michigan-born basketball player from Borculo? Well, it turns out at age 17, this is about 15 years ago, she found out she had a rare heart condition. Super rare heart condition, actually. And since that time, she has instead changed her focus from basketball and learning about basketball and doing basketball because she was told she couldn't play sports anymore. Instead, she focused on Christ and she did everything that she could to point to Christ. And it doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. In fact, Kristen has had, I think, three open heart surgeries in the last 15 years. Two of them were actually within weeks of each other. She's experienced the loss of unborn children. Yet through it all, she chose that she had words to say to people to encourage them, to press people on in their faith, and maybe to help people find faith in Christ. So she decided to, first she wrote a blog, and then she started writing this book as a piece of an encouragement for believers, and how to have a singular focus in the difficulties that happen throughout life. When thinking about how you point to Christ, maybe you're thinking, Steve, I'm not going to write a book, okay? I'm not going to write a blog. I'm not very good at those things. But maybe the Spirit's working inside you to do some other things. Maybe the Spirit of God isn't asking you to write a book or a blog. He's just asking you to walk across the street because you see some of your neighbors talking there. So you go and you start bringing up conversations with them and start talking to them and getting to know them. And at some point, that singular focus that you have in your life, your love of Christ and your love of others is going to come through, and they're going to see that. And it's the Spirit who works within them. It stirs within them belief in Christ. Maybe that's one of the ways. All God's asking for is cooperation with His Spirit. praying for people that God puts on your mind. Maybe you know someone like a Matt that doesn't know Christ. Or maybe you know someone else who used to follow Christ, but they don't anymore. And you can lift them up in prayer, and maybe you could reach out to them and invite them to City Fest. Because we never know what God's going to do when we do that. Matt's sister didn't know that Matt was going to come to the Lord that day when she just asked, "Hey, do you want to go to a free concert downtown by the river?" The Spirit works mightily when we're open to it. And as we live day by day, with openness to the Spirit, we declare in every action that we do that Christ is Lord, because He is our singular focus. And we have an opportunity as a Christian, as a disciple, as a Christ follower, to be an agent in His kingdom for His glory. To have that singular focus, that one thing that we look at, that Christ focus. So I pray that together that we, as Princeton, a body of believers, as disciples of Christ, will have that one focus in everything that we do. That one focus this week. Start with tomorrow. Start with the rest of today in thinking about how Christ is being proclaimed by what you do. Let's pray. Father, we can't thank you enough for what you've done for us. You brought Christ in this world to save us. To save us from a death that we could be going to, Lord. But instead, you chose that you wanted people to have a life of abundance, a life with you. And so you sent Christ. And you gave us the example of the disciples, ones who had a singular focus on you, to show how we're to live today in 21st century Kentwood. We pray that you will provide an openness in our hearts and a willingness to be moved by your Spirit who is already within us, to follow His will and to declare Christ as Lord in everything that we do. That every place we go and every thing that we do, there is Christ united with us in that place. Bless us, Lord, as we continue to worship and to lift your name high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.